You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Network. Welcome into the Great Northwest. Starting to feel that way. Gym Class here on KGYM for this Thursday afternoon. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, 10 feet or more off to my right. Buttons on the other side of the glass once again here today. And thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it. Whether you're listening on online, we thank you very much for doing that as well. The brand new KGYM radio app that is ready to go for you to download. Or you can listen to us terrestrially at 1600 AM all over eastern Iowa, as well as 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. Taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, good show coming up for you today. Ben Visser is going to join us, who covers the Iowa State football team, Iowa State Cyclones in general, for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Iowa State set to open their football season, their football campaign on Saturday, as they take on Louisiana. That'll be a 9 o'clock pregame show for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Coming your way on Saturday from Jack Trice Stadium in Ames, an empty Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. And we will talk about the Ragin' Cajuns. We'll talk about Iowa State. A lot of people liking the Cyclones. Iowa State kind of is the
giving the points.
Well, like them not only for that, but just, I mean, the Bear on ESPN has Iowa State as his surprise college football playoff team, perhaps. Tim Brando covers college football, has the Iowa State Cyclones, for what it's worth, as his number six team in the country right now.
Yeah.
This is not going to be an easy game, though, with Louisiana. We will talk about that and more with Ben coming up in just a little bit. We'll also have a complete recap of last night's opening night of Bowling Night in America, as we'll see how the Nails did back on the lanes. All that and more coming up. We start with the news of the day. First of all, the long-anticipated National Football League season gets underway this evening. We'll have it for you at 6:30 on all of our frequencies of KGYM from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, which could be a little bit of a soggy Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. We'll see, as the world champion Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs will take on the Houston Texans coming up tonight. And that will be again at 6:30. About 7:20, they'll get things kicked off. By the way, that is a reminder to all of our listeners out there. You have about 4 more hours to sign up for our knockout pool, which is presented by our good friends at Imon Communications. You could be a winner of $300 if you are the lone survivor of the knockout pool. More details available at KGYMradio.com.
But that's only if you select one of these two teams. You have till Sunday. Otherwise,
I don't believe
is that right?
So. I don't believe
okay.
So.
Let's check on that.
We're going to check. Yeah. Buttons, can you check on that, please? Let's check on that. Get a hold of Jamie. Get a hold of whomever. And if you do not take the Chiefs or the Texans, do you still need to have your pick in by tonight? We will give you the answer to that coming up in a little bit. Buttons is on his way. He's out of the chair and on his way down the hallway to get clarification on this particular subject.
Must be 18 years old or older.
We do know
to
that.
Participate. Yeah.
We also know that if your team is involved in a tie and you picked that team, that does not mean it's a win, and unfortunately, you are eliminated. So we've had that happen before. All the rules and regulations, you can go to KGYMradio.com and click on it, read it, and go on from there. 319-366-1600 at 308. That is a text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600 if you would like to get a hold of the program here today.
I believe I have the answer, but we're going to wait confirmation from Buttons.
Buttons, if you have the answer, come on in.
Contest rules at KGYMradio.com. if no selection has been entered 5 minutes before that week's final game, Monday, September 14th, in this case, you are no longer eligible to play.
Okay, so if you want to the Chiefs or the Texans, you must get your pick in tonight by 7:15. Okay, there you go. Thank you for the clarification.
Again, all contest rules at kgymradio.com.
Yeah, please go visit it and please sign up. And thanks to I'm On Communications for helping us out with that. We do appreciate it. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, as we mentioned. We're going to talk to Ben Visser coming up in just a little bit. High school football coming up tomorrow night. It will be Xavier hosting Clear Creek Amana. We'll have it for you on 107.5 FM coming up tomorrow night. And then on 106.3 FM, it will be West Branch hosting Cascade coming up tomorrow evening. One more game by the boards today. Found this out a couple hours ago. It was released. Linmar and Waterloo West will not play tomorrow night. That was actually a rescheduled game. Both the Wahawks and the Lions were scheduled to take on Iowa City Schools, West and Liberty. And they decided when the Iowa City schools were not allowed to play due to the ruling by the Department of Education that they were going to get together and play. But now Linmar has had a player test positive for COVID. So Linmar is going to go into quarantine for the next 2 weeks, tomorrow night and the week after that for Paul James and the Lions. So tough break right there for them. And Waterloo West will not play tomorrow night because it's too late in the equation to find a game for those folks coming up tomorrow evening. 319-366-1600. Tough situation for those athletes, certainly.
Very unfortunate. Linmar joins Kennedy on the sidelines for a short period of time.
Kennedy doesn't know if they'll be able to play their game next week.
Right.
Yet. Scheduled to go, I believe, up to Dalzell to take on Dubuque Senior.
According to Jeff Linder of the Gazette, that quarantine lasts until 10 p.m. next Friday night. So unless something changes, Kennedy will be out again next week.
True.
And I made my thoughts well known on this subject. I'm not going to pontificate or opine anymore. I'll just say it's very unfortunate and, frankly, I think unfair for the rest of the team. And leave it at that.
Yeah.
All right?
319-366-1600. Breaking news coming out of the Big Ten Conference out of the Pac-12 as well. John Rothstein from CBS Sports covers college basketball, is now reporting that the University of Washington has cut 16 positions in its athletic department, is furloughing 35 other employees per release. A little closer to home, announced at 3 o'clock or just past 3 o'clock from our friends up north in Minneapolis, the University of Minnesota is going to cut 4 sports. They will cut men's indoor track and field, men's outdoor track and field, men's gymnastics, and men's tennis at the completion of the 2020-21 competition season. That from the University of Minnesota. Care 11, Dave Schwartz, is the first one to come out with that news and information. So, yeah, it continues. Unfortunately, the beat goes on. And this is not going to be the last, as we have said before, that you're going to hear about this. So we'll see. We'll see. And is this going to be the end of things at the University of Minnesota, much like it was or wasn't at the University of Iowa?
No question. It's almost a daily occurrence when we see either budget cuts, furloughs of staff, not filling positions of staff, as we've seen at Iowa, we've seen now at Washington, cutting of programs, as we've seen at various schools. The beat will go on. It will continue until we can get back on the field, get back on the court, and these teams can replenish their budgets. When that will be, don't ask me.
Don't know. Don't know. And also, don't ask when the Big Ten season is going to start. We've covered that. We've crossed that bridge many, many times out there. Governor's now starting to get into the act. That's the latest to send another letter to. Kevin Warren has to have about a stack of 4 feet of letters now on his desk outside of Chicago at the Big Ten headquarters, you would imagine. Not going to do any good until the presidents and et cetera, non-athletic people decide it's time to play sports. I think, have we all learned that by now, that the chancellors and the presidents are going to be the ones that are going to say it's time to play sports?
No question about it. But also James Franklin coming out today with some sharp comments about the communication skills of the Big Ten office and Commissioner Warren in particular, saying, you know, they're having meetings and whatnot, and we're not getting any kind of information as to the contents of those meetings. So James Franklin, the head football coach at Penn State, joining the critical ranks of those towards the Big Ten Conference. So
we'll see. Mike from Marengo, our friend on the text line. I'm telling you, if every other conference pulls off an entire football season, Kevin Warren will have to change his name and go into the witness protection program. Yes. I don't know if it's going to go off. We'll see. It starts this week and on Saturday. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. If they're all their cards are on the table right now.
I said several weeks ago when this whole split happened with the Big Ten and Pac-12 versus the other three power conferences that are deciding to go on and play, that Kevin Warren is either going to look like the biggest hero in college sports history or the biggest goat. And we're not going to know for several weeks. We've already seen in the Big 12, what is it, three games now, either postponed or canceled. We talked yesterday about Baylor and Louisiana Tech. That game off because Louisiana Tech had about three dozen positive cases.
Haven't had enough time to practice.
Yeah. But good news today, Louisiana, the opponent for Iowa State on Saturday, and Iowa State both announcing zero positive tests within their program. So that's one step forward to this game going off at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
And yes, 86-99 teams have already postponed games for this week. Obviously, some issues. Yeah, three games in the Big 12 have been canceled for this week, or at least postponed. That's for sure. And I think we're going to see issues. We'll see. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I cannot look into the future. So not exactly sure how it's all going to play out. 64-29 on the text line. Getting a hold of us here today. Sounds like NCAA men's gymnastics is done. Can they sanction a national championship with only 14 schools nationwide participating? I guess that's a question for the NCAA, but
I think there's only five programs left now in the Big Ten.
14 is, not a particularly sound number if you're trying to conduct a national championship. Perhaps it will be that men's gymnastics goes to more of a, like many hockey programs, for example, Iowa and Iowa State, as far as their hockey programs are concerned. It's a, it's not a varsity sport.
Club program.
It's a club program. Thank you. I was looking for the correct verbiage right there. 71-48, as far as high schools are concerned, is Saturday an option? I suppose it could be. I think anything is on the table right now to try to get a game in.
Mike from Marengo also weighing in about, I think he's talking about the Kennedy or Lindmar situation. Really, they can't dial the clock back 4 hours. I think we're probably on the same page with this, guys.
319-366-1600 at 18 minutes past the hour of 3. Ben Visser is going to join us coming up in just a little bit, and we'll talk Iowa State football as the Cyclones. We'll talk on-field football. How about that? The Cyclones will take on Louisiana. Of course, tonight the Chiefs and the Texans kick off the NFL season. And again, we'll have that for you at 6:30 tonight right here on KGYM. And a lot of people anticipating a lot of points coming up tonight with Watson and Mahomes going at it. Houston with quite a few defensive defections from last year. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm interested to see how the timing is going to work and just the the camaraderie of the two teams on getting, you know, timing, etc., because they have not had a preseason to get ready. It's going to be totally different. This is going to be like your first preseason. Things are a lot different, even in a scrimmage situation, than they are as far as when another team is facing off. This is going to be like the third time in the last 10 months that these two teams have played one another, too. They know each other very, very well.
Yes, they do. That game, as you mentioned, 6:30 airtime on all four of our frequencies on KGYM. And we have a poll question today. KGYMradio.com is where you can access it. And it's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Thanks to Steve Anderson and the folks down there at Hawkeye. The question is, how many points will be scored in tonight's NFL opener between the Chiefs and the Texans? We give you two choices, more than 54.5 or fewer than 54.5. Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com. And if I had to vote, and I will, I'm going to say fewer than.
You're going fewer, huh?
I think the Chiefs will put up some points. I'm not so sure the Texans will. Maybe a 34-17 game. Vegas knows these numbers very well. So it's going to be close one way or another.
A lot of pretty buildings out there.
But, I mean, you make some good points about no preseason games, first bullets being fired. These teams going to be slow out of the chute. Our defense is going to dominate. Our offense is really going to be clicking on all cylinders. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch, not only tonight, but this weekend as the full slate gets underway.
Yeah, it will be. And you're just going to have to sit back and watch. It's almost going to be a situation of a college-type game or even a high school game between week one and week two. Now you're going to see a lot of improvement, I think, made between week one and week two as far as the NFL is concerned. Because remember, colleges and high schools, they don't have a preseason.
True.
And now the NFL this year is not going to have a preseason, especially with the rookies. It's going to take a while to get used to. A lot of people talk about the speed of the game, and I am a big proponent of that. Yes, the college game is very quick, but it even ramps up a little bit more when you go that next level up from the college game to the NFL game. And I think that's going to take a while for the rookies to get accustomed to a little bit more this year, certainly, than they have in the past.
And like it or not, there's going to be the off the field aspects of the NFL, not only tonight, but into the weekend and beyond. With social injustice issues that are out there. How are teams going to handle the national anthem? What will they have on their jerseys or their shoes or whatever to make a statement of one kind or another? I just want to watch some football.
There will be people in the stands at Arrowhead tonight. Yes. What is it? I want to say something like 8,000-ish are allowed tonight at Arrowhead Stadium, one of the five or six NFL venues that will have fans for the opening weekend. So there aren't going to be many. It's going to look pretty empty, but there will be fans at Arrowhead tonight. So it'll at least you'll have that.
Mike from Ringo, very interactive with us today. We appreciate that, Mike. The other thing is the refereeing usually – the refs are absolutely terrible the first few games in preseason football.
Or just NFL down the line. That's all I will say. That's all I will say about that. 3:23. We will take a break, come back. Ben Visser will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Covers Iowa State football. He and Mike Halas are going to be down in Ames on Saturday as Iowa State will take on Louisiana. We'll talk with Ben when we return. You're listening to The Gym Class for a Thursday, a rainy Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. Back with more here on KGYM.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings in velvet-lined Hertin & Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin & Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin & Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
We at St. Andrews thank all you golfers for your business this difficult year. We've diligently followed the governor's protocol for golf carts, the course, and the clubhouse. We hope you appreciate our efforts as much as we appreciate your business. And special kudos to all the moms and dads who bring their kids to golf. Stay safe. St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Linder Tire's seen a lot in 88 years. Tornadoes, floods, and tough economic times. But through it all, they've been ready to help you. And today is no different. Linder Tire is open and ready to help with your car, truck, or van, whether you need emergency service or regular maintenance. You can drop in for service, but appointments are recommended and easy to make at lindertire.com. You can also find their updated hours and other info on their Facebook page. Linder Tire, in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. Ready to help, just like they've been for 88 years.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money. Like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans, so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Back with you in the gym class here on KGYM for this Thursday. The NFL getting started tonight. You can catch the game at 6:30 with the pregame show right here on KGYM. All of our frequencies, as it'll be the Chiefs taking on the Texans from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. And then high school football coming up tomorrow night. More on that coming up in just a little bit. Told you about the cuts at the University of Minnesota. Ryan Day, Ohio State's head coach, the latest mark to come out against some of the communications that Ohio State, the Ohio State University, has received from the Big Ten Conference and Kevin Warren.
Yeah, Ryan Day echoing the sentiments pretty much of Penn State football coach James Franklin, saying that he's not happy with the communication or lack thereof that he's getting out of the Big Ten Conference. And in a three-paragraph note that he posted, his last paragraph is, "Our players want to know, why can't they play?"
Ask the presidents and the chancellors. That's my best way to get to that. 319-366-1600, time to bring in our guest today. Ben Visser covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can give him a follow on Twitter, at BenVisser43. That is at Ben Visser, 43, and kind enough to join us as we get ready for Iowa State and Louisiana. We got football to talk and write about, Ben. That's exciting, right?
Incredibly exciting. I didn't know if this day was going to come.
You got to pinch yourself every once in a while. It's not Saturday yet, though, but I think, you know, with the indications of the no positive tests for Louisiana, Iowa State's doing well as far as the COVID tests are concerned. I think we're going to be okay for Saturday.
Yeah, knock on wood, everything is trending towards this game happening. So let's hope they keep those negative tests coming and we're able to play football on Saturday.
Ben, we talked to Michael Oss, your colleague at the Gazette, on Monday, and I think he's maybe rightfully so approaching what he's going to do from maybe a non-game standpoint or just basically the atmosphere and what it's going to be like. I'm sure you'll be doing game story, sidebar, whatnot, but curious what your thoughts are walking in that stadium with no fans and covering a football game unlike any other.
It's going to be wild. I've thought about that a lot over this last week or two. Because, like, when you turn on a game on, if you watch a Major League Baseball game or an NBA playoff game and you're sitting on your couch, I got used to it, and it doesn't feel that much different for me when I watch those games. They're still high intensity, still high effort, and I enjoy them. But being in person when no one else is going to take, I think, weeks to get used to, assuming Iowa State doesn't have fans the rest of the season. I think they're going to talk about that, and we'll see what they do. But for sure this first game, it's going to be so surreal. It's going to be like watching a glorified scrimmage almost, except the game actually matters, and it matters a lot. It's going to be really, really weird.
It is, and until I think you and the rest of the media and the rest of the players and the rest of whomever will be there goes through it, I don't think we can fully understand or comprehend how it's going to be. It's just going to be really, really strange.
Agreed, 100%.
Well, go ahead, Mark.
Ben, simple question. How good can this Iowa State team be? We talked a few minutes ago about Tim Brando having Iowa State sixth and perhaps a playoff contender this season. What are your thoughts?
I think six is high, but Iowa State can be good. I'm not going to discount that. They could compete for a Big 12 championship, but the biggest the biggest question mark is the offensive line. If the offensive line can play at a high level, Iowa State's offense is going to be very good. They have weapons at every level. Brock Purdy is obviously an all Big 12 caliber quarterback. Breece Hall, all Big 12 caliber running back. There's a little bit of question at wide receiver, unproven talent at wide receiver. In theory, there's quite a bit of talent there, but a lot of them haven't been the number one guy yet. So one of them's going to have to step up a receiver. But then you got three all Big 12 tight ends. I mean, each one made first team, second team, and honorable mention all Big 12 tight ends. So, the offense is set if the offensive line is able to produce. And I think that's the big question. Matt Campbell feels really confident about the talent that he has on the offensive line. But he said until the lights come on, you don't know what you have. I mean, a guy can absolutely light it up in practice, but when the game starts and the whistle blows, some guys kind of clench up a little bit. And that's something that he doesn't know yet, and you're not going to know until this first game happens. So, we'll see what the offensive line can do. I think that's going to be for sure the biggest question mark on this Iowa State team.
Well, I think that we know that feel good about a couple of guys anyway, as far as the offensive line is concerned.
Yeah.
Trevor Downing and Newell, I think, are proven guys.
Yep.
Foster and the right side especially are the guys that are going to be under fire immediately, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Foster, he started a few games for Iowa State. The last time Iowa State played in Iowa, he got the start in that game at left tackle, and it did not go well for him. And I don't think he's seen the field since that game. But by all accounts, Matt Campbell said he's having the best camp of his career so far. I think if you looked at the depth chart, the offensive line outside of Newell and Downing, outside of those two, there's a lot of oars in the depth chart, it's this guy or that guy. And right now it's Sean Foster or Grant Triber, and Grant Triber is a redshirt freshman from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, my hometown. So I think it's going to be Sean Foster to start the season because Matt Campbell always seems to lean towards seniors and guys who have played. But if it doesn't go well for Sean Foster again, I think he's going to get a pretty quick hook, and I think Grant Triber, who the staff is really high on, is going to get a shot over there. And then the right side is that's going to be a tough one to predict. I would assume that Robert Hudson gets the call at right guard, and then Joey Ramos gets the call at right tackle, but we'll see how that plays out. And I think that if one of those guys doesn't play well, that could be a fluid situation as well.
Ben, I'm going to have my eyes on that. I'm also going to have my eyes on a guy named Xavier Hutchinson, wide receiver. When you recruit a junior college player, you expect him to come in and at least make the depth chart, and this guy is in the lineup. I don't know, maybe you can tell us more, but Iowa State had a Hakeem Butler, who's a dynamic, really tall, rangy guy. I don't think Hutchinson is that big, but tell us about this guy.
Yeah, he's not quite as big as Hakeem or maybe Al Nazard. I think he's listed at 6'3", but he's got a big body on him, too. He's not a small stick of a guy running out there. He's got some muscle mass on him. And when he was getting recruited at the very end, Oklahoma tried to come in and take him out of Iowa State's grasp, but Iowa State was able to hang on to him. By all accounts, Matt Campbell said that he has the talent of a Hakeem and an Al Nazard, but he is a little bit different of a player. I'm not sure what exactly that means, but I think that was just Campbell's way of not trying to put too much pressure on the guy. But he did say he does have a talent level of those guys, and I think that's when I touched on the receivers and their unproven talent. That's Xavier Hutchinson was the prime example of that, just because, I mean, we talk to anyone in the program, this guy's going to be a playmaker, but we all have yet to see it. So we'll see how he does on Saturday. I think it'll be a really good test for him.
Ben Visser joining us, talking to Iowa State football here on Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Before we leave the offense, I got to talk about this a little bit. Brock Purdy is terrific. But I will say this, with an unproven offensive line, you got to keep him upright, and I think you also have to keep him upright because Iowa State, I believe, has two true freshmen right now as a number two quarterback, one of those being Hunter Deckers, a terrific record setter out of West Sioux over in northwest Iowa. But that's another reason to keep Brock Purdy healthy.
No, absolutely. You're 100% correct, and Brock Purdy has dealt with injuries throughout his time at Iowa State. Last year, he injured both of his ankles, not at the same time. So he does get banged up. He is sometimes a little bit reckless when he scrambles and rolls out of the pocket. He doesn't always get down when he's supposed to. He doesn't always run out of bounds when he's supposed to. And that's something he acknowledges. But it's just sometimes some of these guys are wired to just keep going until you're down on the ground. So that's sort of what gets Brock Purdy into trouble a little bit there. And we asked Matt Campbell about that on Tuesday, and he's like, yeah, you know, there are times when I wish he would get down, but I know how he's wired, and sometimes you'd like that competitiveness in the guy. So while they might want him to get down in situations, they understand that his competitiveness is what makes him who he is. But then as far as the backups go, yeah, who knows what they have. Obviously, Deckers is really talented, but can he make the jump from West Sioux to a Division I Power 5 program in, I don't know, 3 months? That's hard to see and hard to say. So, and then Aiden Bauman, by all accounts, he's the son of an NFL quarterback, so maybe he's a little bit more cerebral, who knows, but it is imperative for Brock Purdy to stay upright and stay on the field for Iowa State.
Man, I looked at the roster, but the two-deep distribution. I counted 14 true or redshirt freshmen, which seemed like on the high side, but when you look down through the other four classes, whether they be true or redshirt variety, it's a pretty even distribution among the four classes.
Yeah, you're right. It is interesting. The last 2-3 years, maybe since Campbell's gotten here, he's been saying that it's a young team, and it's a young team, and it's relatively true. And then you get to this year, and it's another 14 true or redshirt freshmen on the two deep. And again, it looks like it's a young team again. So it's interesting because there's not a lot of attrition because, I mean, I guess the offensive line, pretty much a lot of them left. And then the defense, you got a few, one on each level that graduated. But and Matt Campbell does continue to say that the recruiting classes that they're bringing in do have a lot of talent, and I guess that's reflected in the 2-deep. But it's interesting because Iowa State doesn't seem to age, which is interesting because, yeah, there's always a lot of freshmen and true freshmen on that 2-deep. You got guys like Brock Purdy who come in as freshmen. He's now a junior, so I guess he ages. But, I mean, even Breece Hall last year comes in, true freshman. He's the guy now. He's a sophomore, and that's still young. So if this Iowa State team somehow ever matures, I mean, we'll see what they can do.
Yeah. Looking at the defense, I really expect a big year from Jaquan Bailey on the outside in his redshirt senior season. And we'll see anyway. There's some big names back there. The secondary looks terrific. Eisworth, I think, is ready for a real big breakout season after suffering through some injuries last year. And then you got Rose and Vance in the middle as far as the linebackers are concerned. This has all the makings of a really, really good defense.
I agree. I definitely agree. Going to Jaquan Bailey first, he already has the career sack record. He's tied for the career sack record at Iowa State. He was supposed to break it last year when he was a true senior, but then he got injured and wasn't able to finish the season or even get close to it, so he redshirted. Now he's back again, and I'm sure he'll break that record. I don't know if it'll be this game. Levi Lewis, Louisiana's quarterback, is a pretty mobile quarterback a little bit. He could be hard to bring down to the ground in the backfield. But, Jaquan Bailey will break the record at some point this year. Iowa State's defensive line, they lost Ray Lima, and I think that's the biggest question mark. But Eni Wazirike, who was a defensive end last year, is now listed as defensive tackle. He gained 25 pounds. He went from 6'6", 285 to 6'6", 310. And then when I asked Matt Campbell about that, he said he's actually probably three good meals away from being 330. So Eni Wazirike put on a bunch of weight. According to Campbell, it's all good weight. He still moves like a small four, he said. So I think he's going to be the guy in the middle, which is an absolutely massive defensive tackle. And then he got Zach Peterson, who came on strong last year at the other defensive end spot. So I think the defensive line, even though you lose a guy like Ray Lima, who's just solid as a rock, I think it could be a pretty dynamic defensive front. And then you're absolutely right. Orion Vance was leading the team in sacks last year until he got a little bit banged up. Mike Rose, we know what he can do. He's solid as a rock and really, really good football player. And then you already touched on Eisworth. A guy I do want to mention is Lawrence White, one of the other safeties for Iowa State. He's a three-year starter. He got his first start in the Liberty Bowl 3 years ago now. And he's kind of quiet, but he was second on the team last year in sacks. He led the team in interceptions. I mean, he gets overshadowed by Greg Eisworth a little bit, but he's a really, really quality football player as well.
There is an opponent Saturday, Ben. We haven't talked a lot about it. You touched on the Raging Cajuns quarterback, who has had a very good season last year. A couple good running backs. This offense going to be pretty good, I think, for Louisiana, and a challenge for Iowa State's defense. Don't know a lot about Louisiana's defense, but this is no patsy.
No, absolutely. It's definitely not your traditional first game of the season where you pay a team a couple $100,000 to beat them. This is a really quality football team that Iowa State's going to play. Levi Lewis is the preseason Sun Belt Player of the Year, and I think it's for a good reason. He threw for over 3,000 yards last year. He completed 65% of his passes, only threw four interceptions, so he's careful with the ball. He knows what he's doing, and he's a dual-threat quarterback as well. I think he gained, when you don't account for sacks, he gained over 300 yards rushing as well. And he had touched on the two running backs. Elijah Mitchell ran for over 1,100 yards and had 16 touchdowns, and then Trey Regis had over 800 yards, and he had 11 touchdowns. So, I mean, their offense is legit. They did lose a few receivers, so we'll see what Levi Lewis can do without some of his returning weapons. We'll see if someone else can step up for them in the passing game to help out Levi Lewis and the running backs. But, no, their offense, by all accounts, should be really, really good. They return most of their offensive line. And as far as the defense, it doesn't stand out quite as much as the offense. Their offense definitely grabs the headlines, but they do return 8 of their 11 defensive starters from last year. So their defense should be a quality defense as well.
Should be. And another big part of this game, I believe, is the fact that the time slot that it was selected. As far as an 11 o'clock kickoff is concerned, of course, we hope everyone listens to our broadcast with on the Cyclone Radio Network. But it is the ESPN national game, and it's the first one. It's coming out of the chute, and there's going to be a lot of eyeballs around the country on Iowa State.
Oh, no doubt. It's going to be, I mean, you don't like the whole COVID and what it did to college sports as a whole, but if you're an Iowa State fan, being the first, I guess, primetime game of the year on ESPN, and it's not primetime because it's not 7 o'clock, but it's the first big game of the year. You got to like that if you're an Iowa State fan. It's something that you don't normally get with the first game of the season.
No doubt, no doubt. What do you if the team can go through the season, get every game in? You said at the outset of our talk here that probably not a top six team like Tim Brando said, or the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day said Iowa State's an outsider for the college football playoff. But what do you anticipate? What would be a good year for this team coming off of what some people considered kind of I hate using the word disappointing because it was a bowl year, but a season that a lot of people thought Iowa State could go double digits with victories. What do you think would be a good victory total this year, or just your thoughts about the season?
Yeah, well, I say first off, I think it's fair to say they underperformed last year. I think 8-4 should have been realistic last year, and they didn't meet that mark, and they went 7-6. But as far as this year goes, I think a realistic expectation would be 7-3. I think Oklahoma's going to be tough to get by. I think Oklahoma State's going to be tough to get by. And then pick one of Baylor or Texas, and I think that's how you get to a 7-3 mark. 6-4 would be disappointing, but I could see it happening. 8-2 would be really good for Iowa State. I think that'd make a lot of people happy. And then, I mean, I guess you got the Bear, Chris Felica, ESPN. You got your Brandos who think, hey, maybe only one loss, or if all those dices roll right, maybe zero losses. I don't see that happening really at all. But if guys stay healthy and COVID doesn't wipe out this season, I think 7-3 is probably a pretty realistic expectation.
Simple question for you, Ben, but maybe not an easy answer. Why has the Iowa State football program, the athletic department, no positives among the latest round of testing, and it goes further than that. Why has the football program in particular been so successful with COVID when you see the campus in general and Story County, Ames High School has to shut down, whatnot. What has been your observations in that regard?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think some of it comes down to Mark Coberly, who is Iowa State's Associate Athletic Director of Sports Medicine. Over the summer, he installed a pilot program for guys who had injuries and they had to stay on campus to rehabilitate those injuries. That was across all sports. It wasn't just football. This is for all sports. And he installed a pilot program to test procedures of how things worked, how people would come in buildings, and with social distancing, would they take the temperatures as they came in buildings, and stuff like that. And I think that gave Iowa State a pretty good blueprint of, hey, this works. Hey, this doesn't work. This is what we can do for a bubble to keep people not going out and, you know, exposing themselves, I guess you could say. So I think that was a big part of it. And then I think part of it is also the leadership in Jamie Pollard and Matt Campbell to some extent. I think they've done a good job of stressing the importance of, hey, we know you're college kids, and we know part of the allure of going to college and being a big-time football player is maybe going out and having some fun on a Friday and Saturday night. But you just can't do that this year. You're going to have to give up some of your personal freedoms to get a betterment of the whole. And they really stress that to the younger guys. The old guy, the older seniors, maybe some juniors, they know what they're supposed to do. And especially for the seniors, this is their last go-around. So they really stress to the younger guys, hey, let's not screw this up for the seniors. Let's let them go out how they want to go out, how they should go out and play this season, get every game in that they are able to get in. So I think a lot of it has to do with leadership. A lot of it has to do with, I mean, Jamie Pollard went on a Psycho Fanatic podcast today and said a lot of it has to do with motivation. There's actually football season and volleyball and soccer season to be played, so they have motivation to make sure that they follow protocols and stuff like that. If you look at Iowa, they had quite a few positive tests in this last go-around. They don't quite have the motivation to actually follow protocol because they're not playing the season. So I think motivation actually probably plays a pretty significant factor in making sure that you stay healthy.
Speaking of Iowa, would this have been originally in the original Schedule 1.0 Cy-Hawk week, or is that next week? I don't know.
I think that was this week.
Crazy.
That's a good question. When you look at Iowa State's schedule now, it's the new schedule, so I guess I don't know off the top of my head, but I think it was this week.
I think we've completely flushed that down the toilet. Mm. But, yeah, what could have been with an Iowa-Iowa State game this year, which is a shame, but hopefully we'll return sometime in the near future. We will see.
Keep
one eye on Halas on Saturday and one eye on the field.
I will.
And we always appreciate it, Ben. Keep up the great work, and we will talk soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Ben Visser, you can read his stuff at thegazette.com and also give him a follow on Twitter at BenVisser43. Covers the Iowa State Cyclones for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. 319-366-1600. That is our text line. Back with more of the Thursday edition of the Gym Class right after this here on KGYM.
If it's time to update your home, the designers at Alexander Lumber or Answers by Alexander would be proud to help create the space of your dreams with impeccable Wellborn cabinetry. The Wellborn family began crafting these American-made cabinets nearly 60 years ago, and the tradition of utmost quality and care continues. So for a space that's remarkable indeed, design with the experts at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dealing with battery problems? We've got you. Let's start with a free battery test. If you just need a free charge, we can help with that too. And if it's time for a new battery, we've got you covered. We're the only place you can find Duralast, the batteries more consumers choose. That's what makes us America's number one battery destination, where help is always in stock. Claims based on a proprietary consumer study and data from the NPD Group 2019.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey race fans, Marty Smith here. Is there a hometown original hero in your hometown who's gone above and beyond in serving your local community during this year's pandemic? If so, Smithfield wants to help you honor them. Share their stories and feature their names on the Smithfield No. 10 race car later this year at Martinsville. So whether your hero is a nurse, EMT, police officer, or grocery store worker, nominate them at SmithfieldHometownHeroes.com and upload a one-minute video that tells their story. Contest ends September 13th, 2020. No purchase necessary.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of the Mice Nest.
Mice Nest?
Yes, Mice Nest. It's a nest of mice. They finished chewing through your RV wiring, so the fire should start soon.
Can we cancel that?
Oh, sorry. Once scheduled, they can't really stop because they're mice. A nest of them.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Oh, and if you could stay on the line for a quick survey.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We are back, 3:53, Gym Class here on KGYM. Back with you coming up tomorrow. We'll take a look at the college and pro football weekend. We'll have a few picks of our own coming up tomorrow. We'll our insights, anyway. We are not going to tell you to go out and put your hard-earned money on it. We're just going to give our thoughts about some of the games coming up tomorrow.
Unless I find something good from Dave Koken out in Las Vegas.
That's true. Maybe we'll get a hold of Dave tomorrow. We'll see how it all plays out. Maybe we'll get a hold of Dave tomorrow. Maybe a special Friday visit with Dave. I'll ask. Maybe we'll do that. We're going to get you a Bowling Night in America update. Yes, 15-27. We took it easy on the pins last night. Not on purpose, but that seems to be the case. Mike weighing in. I'm assuming they're going to pump in background noise. Otherwise, all you will hear are four-letter words on TV nonstop.
That doesn't happen on the football field,
no,
does it?
Never. No, never. Apparently in the baseball diamond somewhat. But no, there will be some pumped in noise, yes, because it could get a little blue. But baseball is getting a little blue. I think at the beginning of this thing, without fans, the players were taking a little bit more, showing a little bit more PG, if we will. Not anymore. It's just blank this, blank.
Not according to Trevor Bauer, anyway, of the Cincinnati Reds.
Bauer and the Cubs do not get along. Never have, never will. But Bauer got the last laugh on that last night. Decorum. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it. Yes, they were showing some decorum earlier. Not so much now, as far as the world of baseball is concerned. 319-366-1600. Yes, it was the opening night of 32, Bowling Night in America last night.
Was there decorum?
There was decorum. It was great to see old friends last night once again. They haven't seen in 6 months or so, including one of our own and our team that came out and made me look like a genius last night, at least for one game. somebody went 0 for – the captain went 0 for 3 last night, but – time for a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Remember, this is a 30-point system and not a 4-point system as we've had in the past. Various match play points available, whatnot. The Rusty Nails sans me, as I am in retirement for now.
May bring you back.
Rusty Nails 6-24 last night.
We were consistently bad. We were 2-8 in all three games.
Ninth place in the league, though. Well, there's only 10 teams this year. But
that's right, but we are ninth.
Got those averages down.
Yes, we did.
Growworks seared you guys last night.
Yes, they did.
But there will be 31 more weeks.
To try to get it back.
Yes.
To try to get it back. By the way, one of our own here at Z102.9, our own Mitch, now in the league.
He's on the Bowling Night in America
roster
train, huh?
Yes, he is.
Good for him.
Great to see that. Great to see that.
Looking at the scores, everybody a little rusty except for Roger Taylor. Roger Taylor, I think he probably bowls year-round. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But a perfect 300.
Congratulations,
last night
Roger.
For Roger Taylor. 780 series, the only 700 on the lanes in the Evergreen
League
this year.
It was tough last night. And a lot of people did not do a lot of practicing over the summer. Not that we could with the bowling alley shut down, but much like football, there will be a lot of improvement from week one to week two, I think.
Protocols followed.
Yes, it was. Yeah, we all had a great time. Yeah. Protocols were followed, and we'll look forward to next week against the Donners.
All right.
So we'll look forward to that. Look forward to the Chiefs and the Texans tonight. We look forward to Todd and Alex. They're coming your way next right here on KGYM.
It's a new season. And it's Sport Clips haircuts. All of our stylists are clean certified and guy smart. So come in and get yourself back in the game with our legendary MVP experience. It's a mancation with our hot steam towel, relaxing shampoo, and a winning cut. Check in online and walk out with confidence.